Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome to the Gastroenteritis Blues live on Locker Room. My name is Steve Lippman. I'm joined, as always, by Emily Cannell and Dan Volpone. We have something special to celebrate. Dan graduated the other day. Dan, tell us, how does it feel doing a podcast now as a graduate?
Yeah, I'm so excited to get a boost in my pay now that I have the college degree. So
you got the bump.
Yes,
you
exactly.
You got the pay bump with graduating.
That's right.
Well, that's great. Graduation was good. It was all good.
It was good. You know, it's just like, it's so long. You just have sitting there the whole time. Like, is this almost over? But it was nice. The parents enjoyed it, which is the most important
thing. Did you have anybody special give a speech?
There were a couple speeches. And then there were like some like cameos from famous people at the end.
Oh, like who?
There was... Oh, God, I don't know. I was really tired.
Okay.
Mark fair. Cuban was the last one. Aaron Donald said, like, one thing. just a lot of people with, like, who either went to Pitt or, have, like, Mark Cuban's from Pittsburgh. Just, like, people with ties there.
Got it. Emily, at any of your graduations, did somebody special give a cool speech?
Our, like, keynote speaker or whatever for graduation was Soledad O'Brien, so I don't know that that's considered cool.
That's
who gave the speech at my graduation. Other ones at Delaware had cooler ones. I'm pretty sure Joe Biden has given a speech, who is the president
right
now, which is kind of cool. One time Kanye West came to Delaware's graduation because his like
what?
Cousin graduated from there, so he was just like
wow
a guest in the crowd. But yeah, those are like the Delaware people, I guess, you know, Joe Biden and Kanye West.
That's right. You mentioned Soledad O'Brien. Who is that?
I think she's on like CNN or something. She's like a news anchor of sorts. She's like a news person.
I don't like her.
So, oh, Dan's out.
She annoys me on Twitter.
I just looked her up and I don't know who this is. But good luck to her. My high school, I went to high school, at least at the end, with Samuel Dallenberg's sister.
That's
nice.
Wild.
And one night we went to some rich kid's house who has a private court, and Samuel Dallenberg was there drinking a full bottle of wine and playing basketball with us. And that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a wild night. It was very cool, but very surreal to see him because he's much larger than you even think.
Yeah.
Big guy, that Sam Dallenberg. Back to the Sixers. They have won now, what do we say, six
yep
in a row?
Yep.
Six in a row. They beat Houston on Wednesday night, and then prior to that they beat Chicago. On Monday, they won both halves of the back-to-back. They were at San Antonio and at Chicago. What do we think? So I wrote something recently about, you know, the Sixers having to decide what they're going to do in terms of health and winning down the stretch here. You know, are they going to get guys some rest, or are they going to play everybody and make sure you get the one seed? What it seems like they're doing, they have a very soft schedule. It seems like what they're doing is they're playing guys – enough so that they get big leads and can win the games, and then resting them and keeping their minutes relatively low whenever they can. But it seems like they're going to play until the one seed is wrapped up. Dan, do you agree with this strategy? And how do you feel about, you know, the way that this has been panning out?
Oh, I definitely agree. And I think it's, you know, Joel, you know, there was the talk last night, put up those numbers, first to do it in, you know, less than 25 minutes for the Sixers. And, you know, why not? Like, if you get a chance to rest them, of course, do it. But the Sixers are down to a spot where the one seed is more important than anything but health. And their magic number is 4. You know, they're 2 games up on Brooklyn. They have the tiebreaker. Both teams have 6 games left. Brooklyn has a tough schedule. 4 might be 2 more Sixers games, for all we know, because Brooklyn still has to play Dallas. Mm-hmm. Still has to play the Nuggets. And so, and Harden's out. And so I think you have to go until you lock up that one seed. And I like that we have this soft schedule, not just a soft schedule, but a soft schedule where the other team's starters aren't even playing, and they're not that good even when they play. So we've been able to get, you know, to coast a little bit, have Joel not play the fourth, have Ben and Tobias not play the fourth. And I think that's basically best case scenario. And if you were telling me to start the year that this is where we'd be for the one seed, I'd say do exactly this. And it's clearly working. They're not playing a ton, but they're winning the games. So it's perfect.
Right. Emily, how do you feel about the way that, like, Doc and the staff has been handling this final stretch?
Yeah, I think they're doing it the right way. They, we had talked about it on Sunday, I guess, and this is what we all said that they should do. The one seed is really important. And if we keep winning and Brooklyn loses a couple more games, you know, like Dan said, the magic number is 4, so that could be less than 4 Sixers games. I also think it's important to, like, for someone like Joel, probably most out of all of those guys, to, like, keep playing. I kind of think, like, with someone that big, and this is just me, like, guessing, but would feel like not that long, but, like, just play 20 minutes a game, like, get a little run in and then go sit on the bench. I feel like that's, like, good for his conditioning.
Yeah, so last night, no Sixer played more than 26 minutes, which was Tobias. Joel played 25, Ben 24, Green 24. Just really nice, you know, easy win that they should have won. You know, they played a Rockets team, which is already horrible, that only played 7 guys. So, of course, you know, they only won by 20, and for a little bit it was closer than we'd all like, which is pretty typical. You know, it seems like Ben Simmons did a really nice job on Kevin Porter Jr., who's had some good games lately. All the end of the bench guys got in towards the end of this one. The Sixers social has been, or maybe not even social, but like staffers or whoever has been putting out some nice Paul Reed after the game clips of Paul Reed working out alone with just rebounders on the court. What do we think, Dan? Did we inspire him to do that since he came on the podcast?
Well, I'll take credit for the rest of his career at this mm-hmm. point. Because anything that happens after didn't happen before. Now, that doesn't imply any kind of causation, but it doesn't mean there wasn't causation, you know?
So right. And if he has a bad game, that's because he hasn't come on again. You know what I mean?
Like, right, yeah. He would have played better if he had come on more recently.
We take no blame. Yesterday, Matisse Thybulle had, of course, 5 points, which is right in the pocket. He had 2 rebounds. He had 2 assists. He had 3 steals and 4 blocks. He was a plus 24 in 20 minutes. And his plus minus was, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else, including all the starters. He really has found his lane here with the team. I remember during the James Harden rumors at the beginning of the year, Matisse was not playing well and he was sort of out of the rotation. We were like pretty much dying to include Matisse for Harden with Simmons, if that's what would get it done. Whereas now I would be pretty precious about where I would trade him at all. He might be on an all NBA team. It could be a first team all NBA defense team. I don't know. Emily, are you really impressed with Thybulle lately? And did you see this coming at the beginning of the year?
Well, I, for one, did not want to include Matisse in a James Harden trade. I just want to put that out there. I was only willing to give up, like, Danny Green and Maxey for Harden. That was my
and Horford, trade. Yeah.
And yeah, and Horford and Terrence Ferguson. I was always ready to get him in the Harden trade. But yeah, I'm super impressed with Matisse. I don't know if I saw, we've always known he was a good defender. Like that's nothing new, but I really think that he has taken a leap in the back half of this season that I didn't see coming. I keep like having Sixers conversations with like friends and family, and every single conversation I bring up that stupid, it's not stupid, but the block to steal play, I'm like, did you see that? Like, that's the play that I want to talk about with people.
That was an unbelievable play.
It's just, I can't get over it. I watch it like almost every day. It's insane to me. And like for that to happen and him to have like that kind of vision and instincts in year two, to be potentially on a first team all defense team in year two, I think it's just really, really impressive. And I think he is kind of like this niche and pocket in this team. And I would love to keep him. But speaking of Matisse really quick, did you see Tyrese Maxey's quote about him when he was
what
like,
was that? No.
I think it was Maxey. He was like talking about vets on the team, and he was like, yeah, and like Matisse is a vet. He's like 30. He's like 24.
Yeah, this is like when Dan calls us
24 is old, guys.
Zip it. He's like, yeah, he's
what
like
I would
30.
Give to be 24.
Right.
I love that. And Dan, where are you at with Matisse? I mean, I think that you had a similar experience to me at the beginning of the year with him. And last year he was up and down. He had a lot of, you know, sort of highlight reel game-breaking defensive plays, and you saw his instincts, but he was not all that consistent, and it was hard to rely on him in a big way, even defensively, because he would be found out of position at times. How do you evaluate him now on the team? Do you think he'll make an all-defense team, and what do you think about his future on the team?
Well, let me start off by saying I would still give basically everything for Harden. I don't care how well anyone else has played. I think that Harden basically went from, it probably still is one of the more hated players in the league after the start of this year. And just people hate how he plays and stuff. And was still like, basically after missing all of, you know, not missing, but playing for Houston to start the year, dragging his way into the MVP conversation because he was that good. He was leading the league in assists, although Westbrook now passed him by like 0.2. But he's just, you know, he's that good. But getting back to Matisse, I'm really glad we have him. I didn't see him being, you know, someone I wanted in the playoff rotation when the season started. And it's crazy because it was a short off season, but he is so much better than last year. Like last year, even like one-on-one defense, he really didn't stick well with a lot of quicker guards. And he's been so good on guards this year. I think he's probably, he's been probably the best defender of guards in the league. I think he probably guards, you know, short, smaller, quicker players better than Ben does. He's so disruptive. You know, he's become one of the best, you know, off ball defenders. And I've never seen anyone block shots, like block jump shots like that. It's ridiculous. Offensively, he looks a lot more confident. You know, he'll dribble the ball a bit. He'll drive, if he has a straight line to the rim, he'll drive it. The shot is like, you know, it is what it is, but he's definitely a bit more confident in taking them. So, that's good to see. He's been, I think last year I would have characterized him as like a good and yes, inconsistent, definitely not great defender and just basically a disaster on offense, especially in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he's been an elite defender, you know, one of the best, if not the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. And, you know, not, he's probably still below average on offense, but not a disaster anymore.
Right. You
know, well, definitely still below average. I shouldn't say that, but not some like awful, like,
he's got a liability. Yeah.
No one needs to stand near him. I think he's gotten so much better on both sides of the ball, and it's huge. The Sixers need him in the playoffs. Like, he's going to have to play, you know, 20, 25 minutes a game. He has to, and he will, because he's that good. They need him on the floor.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's been really cool to see. It's been cool to see him play this well. Let me ask you, do you think, first of all, that he'll make an all-defense team? And do you think that he could possibly make the first team, given that he's playing about 20 minutes a game and off the bench? What do you think?
I mean, I think he – there's Bella. She's great. I think he will make an all-defense team. I think he should. I don't know about first team. I can't say that I follow everyone's defense enough around the league to know, you know, how right. many guys have to be ahead of him. But, I mean, it kind of depends on your philosophy. Like, if you're thinking – even in limited minutes, all the impact metrics show him – being one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA, and just watching him, it's very clear he is. So if you're someone who says, well, it has to be given to a starter, then I guess that's up to the voter. And I don't really know the tendencies of the voters enough to say if he could make first team, but I think it'd be just ridiculous if he didn't make at least second team, because he's obviously.
Yeah. Emily, what do you think? Are you sure that he'll make a team? And do you think that it should be the first team?
I'm pretty positive that he'll make a team, because I was just thinking about, like, even, I mean, obviously on Twitter and things I follow mostly Sixers people, but even like national media wise I can't think of any like defender that gets the kind of press that Matisse gets as like a guy off the bench,
right?
Like, just, you know, these like plays that he makes that people are like, look at this kid, like his second year in the league, like it's so impressive. I don't think it will be first team, although I'm not saying it shouldn't be first team. I just think, like what Dan said, like, I just think people are going to gear that more towards starters, and also these like historically, or like with a precedent of being good at defense, you know, your Rudy Gobert's blah, 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 blah. But I would say second team, all defense. And I think that that's probably where... No, I mean, I don't know if that's where he should be, but I think that's where he will end up. And I think that's really impressive.
Yeah, I think I wonder if part of what will factor in is that the Sixers will definitely have one person on the first team, which will be Ben, without a doubt. So I wonder if they would give us two. And then it's like, I would think that Embiid would be the second team center. So the Sixers could definitely have three guys on the All-NBA defense team, which would be great. I mean, I remember when Robert Covington made first team all defense, I was shocked, not that he didn't deserve it, but that he would get that sort of notoriety. I thought that that was so cool. So yeah, it would be a very similar thing here. And I really hope that Matisse gets that recognition. God knows what sort of statement his agent would put out if he got left off, because if you remember when he got left off of the rookie sophomore game, his rookie year, do you remember the statement? The agent was like, the league's ass assistant coaches made a mistake.
Oh yeah.
So I think we might get another one of those.
He got left off this year too, didn't he?
Ooh, I don't know.
They didn't like play the game, but they named the team. Yeah, he didn't play as much in the first half. That's true, Dan.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and the other thing about his start to this year is that he was hurt. I think he had an ankle thing coming into the year. So, you know, it was a weird and short off season for everybody, but he even had a shorter one than most people, given his injury. So very cool to see him play this well. Lately, the Sixers have not played any teams without their with their best players. They haven't had like a sort of marquee win in a very long time now. Doc Rivers was asked about this. This is from Kyle Newbeck. Doc Rivers on whether or not it's a downer playing so many games against undermanned teams. Doc says, no one felt disheartened when we were missing games. I don't remember Denver saying, oh my God, we don't want to play this game. I don't give literally two shakes who's playing. Emily, do you give any shakes about who's playing?
I give no shakes about who's playing.
Wow. No shakes.
I love this quote. I thought it was incredible. I love that he said shakes where most people would say shits. I thought that was the best part. But also, like, it's very true. Like, sorry that we have a weak schedule at the end. Like, not my fault. Like, take it elsewhere. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and also, we should mention that there is a player on the team literally named Shake, and Doc isn't giving any shakes.
I'm not giving any shakes either. Keep him here.
I wouldn't give a shake. I don't know. I feel like every team is running into this. Like, this isn't just a Sixers thing where the Sixers are totally lucking out. I think that so many teams are resting guys, or, you know, guys are missing time. I think that it's certainly they have a more cushy schedule at the end of the year. But, you know, they played all the same teams everybody else did. They just happened to get the easy ones at the end. Dan, how many shakes are you giving about this specific thing?
Well, I mean, I think that it is disappointing that they're not playing teams at full strength. And I think that's kind of been a thing all year, and not just for the Sixers, but everyone.
You know, Sounds like you're giving a shake.
I do. I give a bit of a shake, but not in the sense that, like, oh, the Sixers should feel bad. Like, these aren't real wins, or like, or even that, like, you know, oh, well, it's not fair that the Sixers have like a, no, because they had to play good teams early in the year. I mean, yeah, they got a bit lucky. They played Miami and Boston mostly with guys out, but they've kind of sucked all year anyway. So, I mean, it's a bummer. I like to see good games. I like to see the Sixers, you know, get impressive wins. And we've had a few. The Lakers win and the Jazz win were, you know, two really impressive wins. And I'm sure there's some others. I'm probably missing another big one. I think one after the All-Star break. But, you know, those are the games we remember. Those were our favorite games this year. And so it sucks there haven't been more. I think the Sixers are very good and could have had some, you know, really exciting wins this year. So in that sense, it's a bummer. But not in the sense that, like, you know, oh, the Sixers got off easier. You know, I feel bad for the other teams who should have had, like, no. Everyone's had that. It's been this way for everyone, and it's kind of annoying. It's been, like, a kind of a lame regular season in some regards, but that's fine. I don't think it's a statement on the team. It's just, like, as a fan, I want to see better games.
Yeah, where I was bummed out was during the Brooklyn games when they weren't able to play Brooklyn with anybody, or, you know, when they played Milwaukee, the Sixers were down, you know, Embiid and or Simmons in each of those games. Like, I thought that was a bummer. I'd like to see those games to try to see where you measure up in the regular season, which we obviously didn't get a chance to do. And I wish that there were more guys playing around the league and that we were able to have more exciting games during the regular season. But again, this is not like the Sixers are lucking out over everybody else. This is what everybody's dealing with right now. Coming up this weekend, the Sixers have a back-to-back, I believe. Yeah, they have a back-to-back. They play, let's see. Yeah, they play versus New Orleans. This is a home back-to-back. They play the Pelicans on Friday and the Pistons on Saturday. Do you guys foresee any difficulty against those teams? I know that Brandon Ingram is likely out for the Pelicans. I don't know if Jeremy Grant is playing right now for Detroit, but do you guys see any difficulty here? You know, the Sixers are great at home, and as long as they can stay healthy, I feel like these should be two more wins for them. Dan, what do you think? This weekend, this back-to-back, would you like everybody to play both games? Do you expect that? And do you foresee any difficulties in this two-game group here?
Yeah, I think everyone will hopefully – you know, in the Pelicans game, if the Sixers play well enough, which, you know, they didn't last time they played them, but hopefully it could be another game where they're resting guys in the fourth, and then definitely I want to see everyone playing. Either way, I'd have everyone play, though. There's no sense messing around at this point. You know, go lock up that one seed is how I see it. So I think it should be hopefully two wins. The Pistons are 19-47, which is pretty unbelievable. That's
Jesus,
like,
Christ.
That's really bad. But yeah, I mean, there could be two wins. I know Emily doesn't think they can beat the Pelicans, but I think they'll.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Yeah, you know, the Pelicans beat the Sixers on Emily's wedding day, which is a real affront to Emily and this podcast. And, yeah, we'll see. The other thing about resting guys is that Joel has said in the past that when he rests for long periods of time, it's hard for him to stay in shape. So he wants to play games. So I think that as long as they don't end up playing him like 40 minutes against New Orleans and then again against Detroit, I think that this is probably the way to go. Emily, I believe you picked the New Orleans game as a loss. Do you still believe in that?
Well, I didn't believe in it in the first time when I picked it. I'm just trying to, like, get a game up on Dan or something. Out of those two games, I would see the New Orleans game giving them more trouble than Detroit.
Right.
But I hope it doesn't. I want them to lock up this one seed. I don't want to feel, like, the slight pressure and stress anymore. I want the one seed. And I want it to be over with. So I hope they win both. I want them to win both. I'll take the loss to Dan if the Sixers can get the one seed.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great to rest them at the end of the season. You know, if they sew up the one seed, then they can chill at the end of the season and play lots of the young guys, which would be super fun for us. So I wanted to talk about some overarching stuff about the Sixers and about the fans this year. Rob Manoff wrote on Twitter, and this a couple of our pals were talking about this as well. He said, there isn't enough hype around this Sixers team. It's kind of sad. In 01, there was so much hype. Every car had flags. There was Sixers stuff everywhere. It was fun. I don't feel that this year. It feels like more complaining than anything. First question is, do you agree with this sentiment that there's less excitement? And why do you think that is? And do you think it's justified? Dan, I know that you're a big Confederate flag guy. What do you think about the lack of flags lately? What do you think?
Why do you do this to me? All right. Anyway, so I'm not a big Confederate flag guy. I was two in 2001. So I can't really speak to the number of flags because I'm not over 24 and old. Like, but
wow.
I mean, I think there's a few things here. First of all, no one has seen each other, so it's harder to talk about the Sixers. It's harder to have like a group excitement about the Sixers. So I don't really know what this is referring to. I think that it's hard when the stadium's not filled. I also think, you know, there's some other reasons. Like, it's been, you know, last year was awful. There's questions about probably how well this team is built for the playoffs, especially with, you know, with how good Brooklyn looks. Yeah. And I think, but here's my biggest thing is like, who cares? Like, not everyone has to be optimistic all the time. Like, it's so frustrating. Like I think Brooklyn's really good. I wouldn't take the Sixers in that series. They could win it, and I would be so happy. And I think if they can beat Brooklyn, they can beat anyone. And, you know, at that point, I feel, you know, give us the trophy now if we beat Brooklyn, and that's right. Great. And I'm all in. I'll watch every game. I'll be so upset when they lose. I'll be so excited when they win. All of that, you know, like, but who cares what other people have to say about it? Like if you're complaining about the complaining, you're just like adding to the culture of complaining. I don't know. I don't mean to. I don't want to call out this one guy. Like, I have no issue with the person who tweeted this. I'm just more speaking to like a group mindset that it's like, Sixers Twitter has basically, not just this year, but like the last few, even devolved into like, you know, pessimists versus optimists, and they all like hate each other. And it's like, come on now. Like, you're allowed to be optimistic and someone else is allowed to have doubts. We both want the same outcome. So like, if you don't see enough flag waving, you go wave the flag. I'm not going to tell you not to. You know, I have my own doubts, but I've had my own doubts all year. I keep them to myself mostly because the Sixers have been great. They've given us nothing but, you know, things to be excited about and things to appreciate. And I've talked about those things, you know, while I still have doubts about certain things in the playoffs, I'm still, you know, really appreciative how good of a year we've gotten to see
you know, the team has really come together well. They all seem to really like each other. Carell's been MVP level. There's been so many good things. And, like, why would I complain that some fans are pessimistic at this point? Like, I appreciate the team. Like, you're also not focusing on that by just getting mad at fans over silly things. That's my opinion.
Mm. So I wanted to share Austin Krell on Twitter tweeted this. That the Sixers are 25-7 at home, best in the East, 20-14 on the road, which is just unbelievable given how terrible they were on the road last year. That's also best in the East. They're 28-9 within the conference, also best in the East. 538 now projects the Sixers to have a 45% chance of getting to the finals, which honestly seems insane. And that's best in the East, and a 23% chance of winning the title. Again, also wild. Tied for best in the NBA. They've just been so much better than I think all three of us could have foreseen them being. But there is some, you know, holding your breath. I think that, yeah, part of it is probably, you know, if it was a sold out arena every night, things would probably be different. A lot more fan interaction. Emily was on TV once and that was a big night for everybody. But and then, you know, just I think Brooklyn having two top five players is giving people some pause. So, Emily, do you agree with this sentiment that, like, there's less excitement than you would think a first-place Sixers team would have? And why do you think that is?
I think Dan partially said it. I think it's the COVID of it all. Like, no one is that excited about sports right now. Like, there's nowhere to get excited about sports. You can't go watch a game at the bar. You can't. They're not doing, like, Sixers watch parties like they did in the past at, like, bars around the city. You can't go to Xfinity and watch a game. You can't do any of this stuff where, you know, sports fans gather. So there's some lack of excitement there. I do have to say that if you get to a game, the energy level in the arena for the limited number of fans that's there is pretty high. I've been to a couple of Sixers games and I went to a Flyers game this past weekend, and the Sixers do a much better job, whether it's their fan base or their entertainment team, of keeping the level of energy up in that stadium with the limited number of fans that are there. So I would say all that. I'd also say I'm really interested to see what the Sixers, their playoff marketing and rollout.
Can you repeat that? I think you cut out. You're excited to see what?
Yeah, my AirPod fell out. What, like, the Sixers marketing team does with the playoff rollout and, like, what they do there. I remember the first season that the Joel and Ben team made the playoff. They had that, like, hype video with, like, the flag rolling out of like the windows of an old city, like, row house. They had all those murals, like, put up around the city with the snake and the bell, like, that when that whole rollout went out. And I think that, I mean, that personally, that's the kind of shit I like, but I feel like people were really, like, jazzed about that. So if they can, like, do some type of, like, viral playoff rollout, like, to really start getting the city excited, I think that could go a long way. I mean, a lot of people also just, like, watch the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So once that kind of picks up, I think the energy will change a little, but I think it's mostly that you can't get a bunch of people together to do anything and, like, build excitement because of COVID.
I agree about the hype videos. I love them whenever they do them. I love the Eagles ones. I mean, I went back a couple months ago and watched the Eagles hype video before the Super Bowl, which is just unbelievable. The Sixers ones are usually very good, especially the "Did the Sixers Win" ones are great. So I'm looking forward to those. And yeah, I think that people will continue. I mean, if they lock up number one, I think that would be a huge deal. And hopefully they can, you know, cause that side of the bracket, really, I mean, we saw obviously, Milwaukee and the Nets played each other. I want to know what you guys think we could learn from that, what we can take away from that. You know, is it nothing because James Harden didn't play, which is a giant part of the Brooklyn team? You know, you have to take it with a grain of salt, but Milwaukee did the Sixers some favors there by beating Brooklyn, and right now the Sixers are two up in addition to the tiebreaker on Brooklyn, and we'll see, because that would the bracket would break a lot better for the Sixers if they finish number one. So, Emily, those Brooklyn and Milwaukee games, do you take anything away from them? Do you think that, you know, for me, I just think that that would be a very competitive series regardless. But I don't really think that Milwaukee has a hand up on them right now. What do you think? Or a leg up, a hand up. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would still take Brooklyn in that series. I know that. And then if for some reason, you know, Milwaukee beats Brooklyn in that series, I'm still less afraid of Milwaukee. I don't know if it's because, you know, a Joel-less Sixers team took them to overtime. And I was like, well, if we can do that without Joel, I'm not really worried about it. Like, put Joel in the court and Giannis can not sit in the middle of our court because he'll be, you know, in Philadelphia because we'll have the one seed. But yeah, so I don't know if we can take it. You can't take it. We've said this before. You can't really like take anything away from these games when everyone doesn't play. It makes it really hard to do. And it's been a recurring theme all season.
Yeah. Dan, do you agree with that for the most part?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think something that no one is really not no one. A lot of people aren't comfortable saying this at this point. In my opinion, not only is James Harden the Nets' best player, I think he is pretty clearly and far and away their best player. And that's not to say, I mean, Durant is great. Durant is probably still a top 10 player. He's definitely still a top 10 player. Harden is much better than he is at this point. And that is backed up by their record when one of them's out and the other plays. It's backed up by all their stats. He is better right now. He runs the offense better, and their offense looks so much smoother when he's in. And so, yeah, the Bucks beat them twice, but they were close games, and the Nets were missing their best player, who is their best guy to run the offense, who is, you know, another player who means you have to go one fewer player deep, who's still a fine defender, especially come playoff time, he'll be a fine defender, which is everyone's big concern with Brooklyn as well. So it's not like you're adding offense at the cost of defense or anything. I think their offense would look a lot better with Harden in there. And I think that not everybody's ready to say it because Durant, obviously, for their careers has been, you know, Durant's one of the best players, you know, that we've seen, and he's unbelievable. But at this point, I think Harden is very clearly better, and he's very clearly the best player on that team, which says a lot because Durant is still great and Irving is still great. But the Bucks beat them in close games when Brooklyn was missing their best player. I think Brooklyn would pretty – I mean, not that anything can happen. You know, Giannis, it looks like they don't have anyone to cover him. But I think Brooklyn is pretty clearly the better team as I would see it right now.
We have a speaker request here on Locker Room from Peter. Peter, we're going to welcome you on and see if you have any questions to ask. Peter, what do you got, pal?
What's up? I was just going to say that the Sixers fans kind of need to calm down. You guys haven't won a championship since...
Thanks for calling in, Peter. Great. Moving on. I wanted to. Peter, I'm joking around, but yes, that is true. And we also have plugs here who would like to say something. Should go great. Should go plugs.
What's up?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. So are you guys just not keeping people up here?
Well, we just tried one. Peter was sort of in and out, but I'm getting a good vibe from you so far. What's going on?
Well, nothing right now. I'm just like, what are we talking about right now?
Oh, okay. Fan of the show. We talk about the Sixers, and right now they are barreling toward the end of the year. Are you a Sixers fan, plugs?
No, I support the Nets.
Nice. Okay. Do you have anything that you'd like to put out there for us?
I mean, well, it depends. Like, what was the topic before I came in here?
Emily?
We were talking about the Nets. And, well, I have a question. Do you think that James Harden is better than Kevin Durant?
I don't think he's better, but he's more valuable to the team for us to win because he runs the offense. He's the point.
As a Nets fan, are you worried at all about Milwaukee? Or who are you more worried about between the Sixers and Milwaukee?
I mean, it's pretty equal because it's pretty similar. Like, the struggle is going to be stopping Giannis and Embiid. But right now, I'd probably say I'm more worried about the Sixers because both games against the Bucks, like, that's all we had to do is just keep it close. And then, because obviously Harden wasn't playing, so.
Right.
As long as it was close, I was fine with it because both games are single-digit wins.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I would definitely pick the Nets in that series to win out. Plugs, I'm going to move on here because we're going to do a quiz at the end of the show about the Ringer's new top 25 list. Dan, you have not read it. I am going to quiz you on different players on this list, and you have to guess. If you get within three spots of the right position, Emily will pay you $20.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. Number, shouldn't say the number. Where do you think Rudy Gobert ranked?
And all these players that you're going to read are definitely on the list, right?
Yes. All of these, notably Ben Simmons was not on the top 25 list and we could talk about that, but, yeah, these are just the 25 best players in the league as ranked by the Ringer. The Ringer staff collaborated on this article. So yeah, I'm going to give you a guy. You give me what place you think he landed on. The first one is Rudy Gobert.
I'll say 21.
You'll say 21. That is incorrect, but Rudy Gobert was exactly number 18. So, Emily, you'll Venmo. I'll give you another player. Jimmy Butler. Where do you think Jimmy Butler ranked?
I'll say 15.
Exactly on the money. That's double.
Wow.
that's great. Where do you think Devin Booker ranked?
19?
Oh, my
wow.
God.
He's
on fire. Devin Booker's 20.
Wow.
Where do you think Steph Curry ranked?
5.
He was number 4. He was number 4. Very good. Where do you think Paul Reed ranked?
Probably 2.
It's very close. What do you think about Kawhi Leonard? Where did he rank?
If Curry was 4, I'll say Leonard was 5.
Leonard was 6.
All right.
Where do you think Joel Embiid ranked on the Ringer's top 25 list?
Was he number 3?
Are you looking at the list?
No, I told you I glanced at it, but I don't remember most of it. I didn't really look at it much. I think Joel was 3 and Julius Randle was like 23, and that's all I remember.
Joel was number 3. We will give you one final one, and this is all or nothing. If you get it right, Emily will give you $300. If you get it wrong, you have to pay us each $300.
All right.
Where did Bam Adebayo rank?
I want to say 22.
He ranked number 23. So sorry, but we will
be
accepting.
Oh, that was within 3.
I'm so sorry, but the rules sort of switched up at the end there. So we are only taking wire transfers through Western Union. That would be great. What an episode. You know, we made some new friends. We really had a blast here. Emily and Dan, do you guys have anything before we move on and get out of here?
I just want to say that I agree with Ben being in the top 25, but I also think he's better than some players on this list.
I agree. I think it's hard. I mean, I guess you end up quibbling with like Randle. Randle's had an unbelievable year. It's hard, you know, because Ben has not had his best year. He's been very good, especially defensively, but I'm not sure. Dan, I imagine you're fine with Simmons' omission here.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have the list go on much
right.
longer until I get to Ben, but I think that, like, this is a weird thing, but, like, say Ben Simmons played for the Jazz, right? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't see Sixers fans defending that player type. They'd be calling out his stat line and making jokes, which a lot of them do now. You know, the people who hate Ben. I don't hate Ben. I think Ben's a good player. I don't love Ben like a lot of people. I think that, you know, it's reasonable to look at, you know, some things he struggled with this year. And I don't just mean the shot. I mean in general. Like, you know, he's had some games where he really created offense off of his defense. And when we say he's had some games when he's been too passive, that includes, like, defensively, he's not, you know, getting steals and getting easy buckets and getting out in transition like he does at times. And so I think that, you know, we all love to, like, make fun of Donovan Mitchell and be like, you know, point out the one game where he had like 30 points on 35 shots and zero assists and make jokes. And that's fine. You know, fans do that. But, like, I understand why you could also point out things about Ben. You know, that's,
yeah,
that's just how it is. And so I think it's reasonable. I think that Ben is still a great player. I'm happy he's on the team, but I think it's reasonable to have him not on that list, especially when so many other guys have just carried their teams. Like, right. I wouldn't trade Ben for Randall, but yeah.
Right. Me too.
The Knicks as the 4 seed. He's leading the Knicks to the 4 seed. That's understandable that he's a top 25 player this year, if you want to call him that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think, you know, Simmons somewhere between 25 and 30 is not a, not a huge deal to me. I think that that would be about right for this
and not
year.
An insult either. Not an insult. That's a really good player.
That will just about do it for us. We'll be back with another regular episode without our new friends on Sunday. That'll come out probably Monday morning. And that's it. Thank you to everybody for coming in, hanging out with us. Thank you to you two. Good to see you both. Dan, congratulations on the graduation. Good talking to you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
See ya.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.